Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's a big time down. There's a lot riding on that third down. For sure, we did great on third down all night. But this thing comes down to trust and faith. And coach just had faith in it and had faith in Eli. He went up, made a great play. And, man, it's awesome.
Sports Radio, 1990 Game, 1990game.com. Jake Fromm, the big game yesterday, the Georgia Bulldogs with the win, 24-17 over the Gators down in Jacksonville. Everybody was drinking before the game, and then he just drank more after the game.
By the way, you got to stop having a problem with people saying, or when I say the cocktail party, because not only do people say it at this station, not only do we have it in promos, they said it on the broadcast. So whatever you feel like, and I remember there was a memo about a decade ago. That was about a decade ago. They didn't want people saying it, and people like after a while went, "Nah, we gonna keep saying it." So I'm just telling you, it's the world's biggest cocktail.
No, not with everybody.
Yeah, with everybody.
No, it's not with
everybody. Why you gotta have them old ideas, man? I'm giving you permission to say it. You just teased around
it. Old ideas it's the current idea.
The current idea is go down there and drink.
That's what they do. They don't call it the cock.
Yeah, they do.
They don't have to give it a name. That's
they
what
do,
they're
do
anyway. They're going to do that regardless.
Man, I'm telling you, we call it here. They call it on national TV, the cocktail party. So you can either be on this side of history or that side. I want you on this side because I want to have a drink with you.
See, well, you know what? And we got to say this, you know, that was big yesterday and Georgia wins.
Yeah.
But there is something happening today, another competition today.
And that would be?
This week, Chick-fil-A announced that November 3rd will be National Chicken Sandwich Day. Problem is, Chick-fil-A is closed today. But Popeyes will bring their sandwich back.
They brought it back. I thought it was Friday.
No, today.
I thought it was Friday.
It's come back today.
Well, you know that's why they're doing that.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Today, the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
But they made the announcement on the day that they're closed?
Yeah.
That's like reminds me of Friday, where they kept getting on Ice Cube. But how you get fired on your day off?
Speaking of that movie, this week we lost.
Oh. Help me out, because I was thinking of
John Witherspoon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we got to coordinate.
Yes.
Bang, bang, bang.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom. Yeah, man, rest in peace. And speaking, well, I'll save it because we have to get into what's going on locally here.
Okay.
With some of these guys. So I will save that story, but I've got a new neighbor who, by the way, will have something maybe to say about what goes on in high school sports. Around Macklin.
If he becomes a donor and a boost.
Well, just save it. Go ahead.
Like they need it. You know, but here, these are some high school games. Yesterday, the schedule was shortened because a number of teams were not playing yesterday, Georgia State being one of them. But, of course, we know this final score from down in Jacksonville. Georgia Tech, not as well. Pitt with a win over them, 20-10, the final score in that one. Mercer gets a win. They had to work half the night to get it, 36-33 in three overtimes. They beat Samford there. Kennesaw State loses. Monmouth. New Jersey, 45-21 over Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State now 7-2 on the year. The alma mater, West Georgia, with a win. Glad to see them get back in the win column to beat Mississippi College 35-21. Clark Atlanta falls. Benedict beats them 31-7. Morehouse falls to Albany State. Tough loss for them, 21-15 final score, Albany State over Morehouse. Savannah State, I keep telling those guys in that conference, Savannah State is the trap game for everybody. They beat Fort Valley yesterday, 53-24. Savannah State dropped back into the SIAC, and they're just taking the conference over. Brevard over LaGrange, 21-3, the final score in that one. And Georgia Southern played Thursday night. They played against Appalachian State, and they pull off the upset. That was another previously undefeated team, and a team that was hoping to maybe play their way into being this year's version of a Central Florida. Not so. Georgia Southern goes up there on Halloween and wears some real trick-or-treat suits, man. They came out with some helmets. I thought they were Air Force. I'm like, who's these dudes with these white uniforms with these wings on their helmets? I've never seen Georgia Southern look like that before. They go up there, and it's the kind of game that App State usually always win. Cold, freezing rain, turning into snow in the second half.
Ground game.
Yeah, they usually beat you, and they lost that game. They came out, and their quarterback looked awful. But that still sizes up big time now for Georgia State, who has a meeting with them coming up on November 17th here in Atlanta. It's going to be a big show down there as far as the conference goes. Still after that, Georgia Southern was State will still play Georgia Southern to end the season. And next week, they're on the road at Louisiana Monroe. So the Panthers already bowl eligible, but some things right out in front of them now, especially the way things set up in their side of the conference with Georgia Southern having beaten App State 24-21 this week. Yesterday, I was over in Birmingham. I'll tell you where I was yesterday.
Yeah, you need to tell everybody where you were.
I was in Birmingham yesterday. And I had a chance to do a little moonlighting with something from the SIAC in the conference game at Miles College. And that's the school that my parents attended. That's where they met.
Right.
And I always like to say, no Miles, no me. So I think I owe my existence to Miles College. And so I go there, and they're playing this game against Kentucky State, who coached by Charlie Jackson, who was defensive backs coach for the Falcons last year. He's head coach at Kentucky State. And they're having a good season. They didn't win yesterday. Miles beat them 17-0. But just the idea of getting a chance to go there and work a game on that campus and see it. I mean, my parents took me out there when I was real little, and
right.
A lot of things have changed, obviously, since that time. But it was cool to go out there and just be a part of that. So I was happy.
At least they didn't change the name of your parents' school.
Yeah.
Because my parents, when they went there, it was Hampton Institute.
Well, it's still Hampton.
It's Hampton University now.
Well,
it was Institute before.
They did the same thing to Tuskegee. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's still Hampton.
Yeah.
And it's still, you go up there on homecoming, you're still going to see a bunch of folk in mink coats. I mean, Hampton's that kind of school, man. Hampton's that school.
Well, because of the president they got.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, by the way, I want to thank him. The show's been canceled, but when he got on his high horse about how minorities are being perceived in certain TV shows, he just boosted the ratings.
Yeah.
So we want to thank him for that.
Yeah. Anyway, he did that. He also took him out of the MEAC that comes with the other HBCUs, which some people got a little skunk eye of him for doing that. But, I mean, he had his reasons. But, no, but speaking of skunk eyes, and I really want to hit this big today.
Go ahead.
And it's a sport that doesn't come around here, and we don't pay it a lot of attention except for, you know, the first Saturday in May. We pay attention to horse racing. And this week we had the Breeders' Cup, which is one of the biggest days of what 2 days of horse racing in this country. More money and everything.
Well, that, but it's not still as big as the Kentucky Derby.
Well, but as far as people in the business, though,
yeah,
as far as the business, it's a huge day. Everybody may not pay attention to it, but it's a huge day for the sport. And first of all, they have it where they had it. And I understand. You probably have a commitment to hold the Breeders' Cup at certain
contracts.
Places.
Contracts are in place. Advance.
But when you got horses dying out there all year long.
You're talking about Santa Anita.
Santa Anita. Right. Why would you go there for this event? And you had one happen yesterday.
Contracts
it's
in place.
The 37th horse that has died at that track. And I'm saying, if you're someone who really cares about the industry, care about the sport, with that going on at that track, you find somewhere to have that event somewhere else. You don't want to put the spotlight on it. And sure enough, they had it there.
Yeah.
With almost 70,000 people in person and a live televised audience, they had to put a horse down yesterday. And I'm just saying that, and I mean, that was an accident, a leg fracture.
Yeah, I understand
which is almost impossible.
But what do you, it's but karma, I'm, it's a number of things, but the, you
if
can't
you got
move
that happening at this place all year long.
Yeah, man. That deal was put in place probably, I don't know how many years ago. Doesn't it move around the Breeders? Because I remember when it started, it was at Arlington Heights in Chicago.
It goes different places. It's been at Belmont. I think they've had it at Churchill Downs. I mean, they move it around to the big tracks around the country. But just to have it there with all the stuff that's been going on there this year, to me, I'm not big aficionado. I've never been to a horse race. I'm hoping we get it locally so I can actually go to one.
Right.
I've always been working on the first Saturday in May, so I've never been to Kentucky Derby. But, you know, just to hear that happen and just...
Oh, it was bad timing, and it was a bad look. I get it. We've had sporting events, though, in locations that had their own issues going on while the event was there. It happens all the time. You'd like to be able to move things. We've had Olympics in countries that are having civil wars going on, but they've taken place there. I don't know what's going to happen. Was it the next World Cup or whatever? And that, you know, of course, that bid was still being questioned. Qatar,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, it's going to be, as you like to say, fish
grease hot.
Fish grease hot.
Every day.
There.
Yeah.
When this thing is going on. But they got the money. They paid for it under the table. And they got craziness going on around there. I'm just saying, I get what you're saying. The timing of it is bad. It's not the same reason why those other horses have been dying, though. This was a freak accident, as you said.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was an accident, and when that happens, you know, you do what you can to try to save the animal, which they weren't able to do, because they're tremendous athletes, and they don't always go along with, you know, things being done to them that are out of the normal. And that's, you know, we've seen that happen in the past, unfortunately.
Listen,
with some races. But just the idea of that particular place, it just seems like because of what all had gone on so negative there, they would have taken it someplace. That's
I get saying. What you're saying, but I just think there was contracts in place so they could move it. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Sunday, where the Falcons are in a bye week, but we have got football action all over the place. And if you can't make it in front of a television, you can hear the Vikings and Chiefs. Pre-game 12 o'clock, kickoff at 1. You can hear the Lions and the Raiders. I'm looking actually forward to that game.
Lions?
The Lions and the Raiders.
Where are they playing that one at?
They're playing in Oakland.
Okay.
But it's listen, there's something that's going on with this Oakland team right now, much like what we were saying last year about San Francisco till Garoppolo went down. Now, I don't know that it's going to be David Carr as their quarterback long term, but John Gruden is going to get the last laugh. He got killed last year. You know, starting off with Khalil Mack getting rid of him and Antonio Brown and all this sort of stuff. But these guys are poised to just dance into Las Vegas next year, into the new stadium, with a crowd waiting for them, and they may make some noise. I'm not saying they're going to go deep into the playoffs, but this Oakland Raiders team is back. Also, I want to remind you, the Patriots and Ravens, you can hear that game too right here. Pre-game 7:30, kickoff 8:20. All those games right here. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah.
We're still learning each other. We got a lot of young guys. We got a lot of guys that are trying to figure out, you know, when the ball's not going in the basket, how to compete. And, you know, I thought the guys I just mentioned really showed that tonight. We got to get everybody to do it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.
You're right here talking shoes.
But both of y'all, I want to just.
Must be the shoes.
I want to send y'all to the hallway or go to study hall or something. We're prepping for this. We got to get it. We're listening to the sound from Lloyd Pierce talking about the young players on the Hawks. We're bringing in Deshaun Tate, who's been here. You heard him kick off the show. We're ready to get into basketball talk. And these two are going back and forth about shoes.
If they ain't got no Gators in there, I don't want
to
go.
But I need y'all to focus on what we're talking about. Y'all are going back and forth. You don't know about Gators. Freedman's?
If they ain't got my Croc skins in there, my reptiles, I don't want to go.
They got a whole room. They got a whole room.
Come on,
matter of fact, they may still have the ones from Shaq's wedding. They had them in a little case up there. Oyster Gators.
Oyster Gators.
Yes. We have to go down.
They got them in all kind of different colors, how we do in the Motor City.
We
got
to go down there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You paying?
You're a basketball man. You ain't been down. You ain't. That's all right. Go ahead, Greg. You have the floor.
Y'all done? y'all finished there with the shoes? I mean, I get how we started. I understand. If he's a basketball savant, he should know about Freedman's.
Very much.
We got to still prep for the segment. And we can take Deshaun down there to Freedman's.
That was just a late discovery. But go ahead.
As you heard in the sound,
okay,
our illustrious coach from the Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, talking about the young talent on this team. And right now he got a bit of a nick with Trey. But your thoughts as we bring you in, this is like, you know, second time we've heard you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the beginning. Your thoughts on this team so far?
I like
this Hawks team, that is.
Yeah, I like the team with Trae Young on it a lot more than
all?
I do without him on it. And I know that the consensus would agree with that. But, you know, what we saw out of this team the other night against Miami, just the way that they've been able to compete and fight still despite not having Trae, I think that spoke some volume. The numbers that you got from DeAndre Bembry, a near triple-double. And then you have somebody like a Jabari Parker, who's arguably the most consistent guy on this roster since the very first game of the season, preseason included. I know that I did hear Lloyd Pierce earlier in the week talk a little bit about how if he keeps it up, then he could be in the contention for a Sixth Man of the Year award as well. Now, I know that Mr. Lou Williams might have a couple things to say about that. But outside of that, you know, I like what they've been able to do. I mean, they've still got to get it, you know, get some things, got some fine tuning to do, kind of iron out a couple wrinkles.
Yeah, you mentioned somebody in Bembry, and it seems like he's really thrived with Pierce since he's been here. What is it that's different that's allowed him to do the guy? When he came to this team, he came as someone we expected to play multiple roles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the energy that he's bringing. I think he's always kind of brought that same kind of energy, but I think the production and the numbers and what he's able to put on the stat sheet is kind of making the difference for him right now. I really do believe that, and especially at a very critical time of the year, because where you don't have a Trae Young, yeah, I would like to think that Evan Turner's the guy that you would bring in to fill the void to play point guard, but he didn't play the other night either. So that's where you have kind of inserted Cam Reddish playing the point guard position, who hasn't even looked very good at his own original position.
Right.
But after Jeremy Lin left last year is where you had DeAndre Bembry filling in on that spot. So not only is he explosive, he's maybe not the best ball handler. He will tell you himself he's not a point guard, but he's a basketball player. So by default, he's playing that position. He's getting rebounds. He's getting some assists. He's bringing some of that energy and turning it into points. So my hat's off to him.
So basically, we shouldn't get worked up about anything about this right now, what we see with this team. Injury or not, I mean, not a major injury, but just getting dinged up right now. We just turned the calendar into November. We know general consensus is that these guys don't really shift into third gear till after Christmas. So right now, are you looking for combinations? As you said, with Trae out, you get a chance to try some things. Who would you like to see maybe show some more of their game while we have this opportunity with Trae being just kind of backing it down a little bit?
Oh my goodness, Cam Reddish. If not, nobody else. I got to see a little bit more out of Cam Reddish, a guy who's a lottery pick. Typically, your lottery picks are guys that, of course, you're going to get a little bit more eyeballs on you. And I think that he has been he hasn't been put in a position to where he's forced to produce, and a lot of that is because of the fact that you have DeAndre Hunter, who has been fairly consistent on this team so far. But the thing I don't like about Cam Reddish, he's just so cute all the time. He's just so cute. He run up and down the court cute. He backpedaling cute. He's squaring up cute. His release is cute. It's too cute. He's the type of guy who has to learn how to come out and play with that same type of fire and intensity from jump ball, and you're not getting that out of him. And then I know that he's been a little banged up a little bit, but also you have Kevin Huerter in that same conversation, who hasn't necessarily – I mean, he's been coming along a little bit, but he's a guy who didn't participate in training camp, didn't participate in preseason, didn't participate in summer league, and none of those things he participated in last year either entering the year. So I'd definitely like to see between those two guys find a way to bring some scoring, especially if Trae Young's absence is going to be extensive.
Yeah, we'll watch for those things with the Hawks this week as they continue. And this little break in action comes at a good time before they hit the road and go out west and whatnot. So we look to see, especially, hopefully, Trae Young is back and ready to go when they head out west. Thoughts on college basketball now, because we're about to roll the ball.
I have one more pro question for him, though.
You got one more?
I got one more. Is karma hitting the Golden State Warriors in your mind?
I don't know if I should call it karma, but, I mean, I'm not sure if I take the Draymond Green injury as serious as they're saying that it is, or if it's just more a way of him trying to shy away from, I guess, having the target now being put on his back where he is being kind of forced to produce.
Oh, you mean he playing a little softer? Wait,
look, you ain't got
big talk.
Well, I'm not going to talk too bad down on my Spartans, one thing I will do is I will be honest. I'm not here to play radio, but you know what it is. You know what it is when you ain't got the light skinned brothers on the team no more. Everybody kind of go down in the dumps.
That's the reason why.
All it's about.
Oh man!
All right, and Deshaun Tate joining Sam and Greg Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Deshaun, it will be here weekly, most likely, through probably June now, the entire basketball season.
Right.
But he loves talking college basketball.
Because this year's our big year. We got the Final Four. We got March Madness coming to our front door here.
I'm excited. You get your credentials yet?
Not yet, but okay. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, toes crossed, eyes crossed, everything crossed.
This is where it begins, right here. You show that you are the most knowledgeable college basketball mind in the city. You will be having credentials thrown at you. So the floor is yours. Tell us what we need to know moving forward.
I'm excited about it. Coming up this week, you got number 1 against number 2. That's Kentucky and Michigan State. And then you got number three against number four, and that's Kansas and Duke. And that's going to be at the Madison Square Garden out there in
Stop it right there.
Okay.
College basketball has just given us something that college football never gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of matchups early in the season.
Yeah, and I mean, I love it. You know, it's kind of like your own little Final Four before the Final Four in a roundabout way. You got a lot of tradition that's going to be in the building. I've never been to the Garden, so I'm looking forward to it. And I know that we were talking a little bit about, you know, some different teams and players that people should watch out for. Everybody knows about Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, out there in Athens. He's going to put, you know, on display some really phenomenal talent. Then again, you also have Cole Anthony, North Carolina, who I think is arguably the best, you know, talent in terms of a freshman coming into the season this year. And I'll give you a little bit of a dark horse. A team ain't nobody talking about, but I'm saying it early. November Madness, Crenshaw.
Ooh.
I like Illinois.
Do you?
I like Illinois.
Wow. Basketball, right?
Basketball. Oh, yeah,
football,
absolutely.
We
a hard nose. Oh, you'll love that one right there, Clark. A hard nosed defensive team. They've been that way for the last few years. They've got some offense coming along with it. Remember the name Ayo Dosunmu. Who is a
say that again?
Ayo Dosunmu, Dosunmo. He is a he's a really awesome product. I really like him. He's not gonna get, you know, a lot of the attention a lot of other guys are gonna get. But when you look up this year and you see Illinois winning some basketball games against some really tough opponents, he's gonna be one of the biggest reasons why.
All right.
I'm writing a couple names down.
You writing the names?
I got a couple names. Notes? While y'all were going back and forth here and arguing about shoes.
Oh, yeah, that's your free space on a bingo card.
Right? I had a couple questions because as we move into this college basketball season, there's been some folks that moved. Mm. One guy left the team and moved up to the NBA. That's John Beilein. So we got to talk about – it's very special right
Making
now.
Making my ears bleed.
And,
right?
I know, and he hates talking about that team in Ann Arbor, that program in Ann Arbor, being an East Lansing man. But you got one of the Fab Five. Mm-hmm. Who have been erased from that university back as the head coach. What kind of job do you think Juwan Howard's going to do this year?
Well, so far he's doing an awesome job, especially in terms of the recruiting. Just landed a top 10, top 12 recruit in Isaiah Todd, who is obviously really good, really talented. Also has Josh Christopher, who's my personal favorite in the class of 2020, potentially having an opportunity at making a decision to go to Michigan. Howard, pardon me. I know you'll like that one. Crenshaw is also on his list, and those two teams are in his top five. So in terms of recruiting, Howard's looking really good. I don't know what kind of coach he is from an X's and O's on the clipboard type of coach, but so far so good. You start getting some guys that are looking over in your direction,
right?
You know, then things are looking good for you.
The other name I want you to give me a comment on, and we saw him on the sidelines yesterday for the big game between Memphis and SMU, and it's Penny Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find five people that ever had a bad word to say about Penny Hardaway.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know anybody that don't like Penny Hardaway, didn't like his game or him as a person?
I don't think Colin Sexton cares for Penny Hardaway very much, but
outside of him,
and I don't know if that was a personal thing or just a basketball thing, but we're going to learn a lot about them. They should run through the AAC all over again the same way that they did when Coach Cal had those guys going. They've got a phenomenal recruiting class, number one recruiting class in the country. They've got some really, really talented players. And then arguably,
that's a tough league. That's a tough league.
It's tough. It could be tougher, but it is pretty tough.
Yeah.
They can also maybe have the number one pick in the upcoming draft, potentially. A guy who's 7 feet tall, coached by Penny Hardaway in high school and on the AAU circuit as well, and James Wiseman. So they're going to be a really tough out. But again, we still have I think the verdict is still out on Penny Hardaway in terms of what type of coach he is as well.
All right, real quick before we leave here locally, Georgia or Georgia Tech, what you got to say positively or negatively about either program?
I don't really have very many positive things to say about Georgia Tech as much as I want. If I have to dig and find, I'm pretty sure I could. But if I'm just being realistic about it, I promised you I wouldn't play radio. There's just really not a whole lot. But I do like Michael DeVoe of Georgia Tech. I will say that much. In terms of UGA, I mean, when you're talking about Anthony Edwards and the ability that Tom Crean has shown that he can recruit some guys, and not just recruit guys, but guys from out of this city, this state, getting them to stay home, which has been the biggest elephant in the room for both of these programs. then the future is looking somewhat bright.
Yep, and you can't forget the folks down in Decatur Street. You got a new guy in charge, Rob Lanier. I watched him play an exhibition Friday night. And we got to watch out for there's a guy named Joe Jones III. Joe Jones III from Buffalo, New York, whose half-brother is Greg Oden. This dude is 6'9". Oh, wow. He may still be growing. He's about 245. He fills up the lane. Got great move. Even got a little baby hook shot.
Taught me something. Learn something new every day.
So you got to
learn about shoes earlier. You didn't been to Freedman's.
Well, one thing y'all learned is that the light skinned brothers, you know, on the Golden State. Make sure we finish it with that.
You had some credentials till you said that. The first of many visits. That's DeSean Tate coming here bringing basketball knowledge. Thank you, man. Go home and get some sleep.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Mr. Crenshaw and I are coming back. Sam's going to let you know about another sport we don't talk that much about. They're going in circles today.
And somebody has thrown down some words. Somebody that you say, I'll not say anything, but he's saying something about what's happening in Texas today.
Tell us next.
Yes, I will.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, it's a beautiful, crisp fall Sunday morning.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, man, because the last few weekends we've been getting rained on, so I'm cool.
I'm cool with this cold weather. The weather has been cold, but the skies have been clear, been beautiful, beautiful.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question before we get into this other thing.
Yeah.
What if I told you there was a baseball player, because I was looking at this, you know, things that happened on this date, and I saw one of a major event, and I went back to the year before. So let's say you had a baseball player that hit over 400.
Okay.
37 home runs. But his team finished in second place. With those numbers, would you think that person would be up for MVP of the league?
He'd be in the running.
400 batting average, 406 to be honest with you. Okay. 553 slugging percentage, 735 slugging percentage, 553 on base percentage, 37 home runs, 135 walks, 147 runs scored.
Okay.
Didn't win.
No?
That was 1941. That was Ted Williams. You wonder why Ted Williams was kind of surly throughout his career?
Yeah.
He that was his year, okay, in 1941. He lost it to DiMaggio. DiMaggio had, you know, he had 30 home runs. He had 125 RBIs. But he also had that little 56-game hitting streak. So he got it that year. That's not the point, though. The next year, Williams hits for the Triple Crown. 356 average, 36 home runs, 137 RBIs. Loses it again.
Whoa.
To Joe Gordon from the Yankees.
Wow.
Who was MVP. And then just for the heck of it, he went off and fought a few years in the Army. God. You know, I'm just saying, when you hear the stories about Ted Williams being kind of surly, maybe that had something to do with it.
Possibly.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We have got football action here with the Falcons in a bye week. If you can't make it in front of a television, we got Vikings and Chiefs, we got Lions and Raiders, and we got Patriots and Ravens all right here on your home for pro football here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Radio home, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's us.
Today is November 3rd.
Yeah, it is. Well,
third,
let me check.
That's what the calendar says. And we think about famous sports threes, and as we get ready to talk about steering wheels, think of a famous number three, of course, the number three car.
I thought you were talking about Babe Ruth because we're talking about baseball.
That's number three, but I'm talking about we're getting ready to talk a little racing. So Dale Earnhardt Sr., obviously, the Intimidator.
Yep.
And the number three car. Stock cars are racing in Texas this week. Texas Motor Speedway, Kevin Harvick's on the pole for that race, and they'll drop the flag about an hour and a half after the Formula One race starts in Austin, Texas. F1 and NASCAR in the same state on the same day at the same time. I know Texas is a big state, but is Texas big enough for that?
Yeah, that would be the only them in California, maybe Alaska. But those are the biggest ones. In fact, I would see that happening more in California because Southern California wants no part of Northern California and vice versa. And anything they got going on up there, they say they don't want down there, and again, vice versa. Texas, I don't know what West Texas says about East Texas and North Texas says about Southern Texas. I'm sure there's, you know, a pecking order, but I got no problem with it, but this you turned me on to somebody.
This is F1's one and only stop in the United States.
Now.
And of all places for them to race, they race in Texas on the same day as NASCAR. And a lot of people think, couldn't they race some other day?
Yeah. Well, I don't think a lot of people saying that, but one person is particularly upset about it.
Yeah, he is.
Can we say this word? It is booty nine. How's that? We clean it up? Will I get called into HR for that?
I think we can say. Can we say the word?
Arsh nine, he called it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Stewart. And he got some nerve opening in his mouth anyway. Don't he? I ain't going to say that, Ken. Ken remind me of some of his transgressions.
He tried to
get me into HR. But, I mean, really. If there was a person who was going to say something, he would be the one. You left your mic on when you did all that.
Sorry. Okay, there we go. Well, I want people to hear he's a producer. That's who he is. But that's the thing, to come out and be vocal about that he went down to the F1, because he's gone to some F1 events. He's shown up at some promotional things. He and Lewis Hamilton have done a car swap on a F1 track. He's driven the F1, his F1 car, and Lewis Hamilton drove his stock car, which Hamilton has said a number of times he wants to drive Daytona 500. That's the one stock car race he would want to come and drive, you know, at some point in his career. He can clinch the F1 championship today in the United States. That's big. Right. That's big for him to do that in the States. But at the same time, you got NASCAR, and you know people can't help looking at crowd size these days, how many people show up for this event, for the F1, although it's F1's only stop until they get this thing solidified down in Miami in the parking lot of the stadium and run down there. It's the only stop in the United States. So naturally, the crowd is going to be big. It's the only chance for F1 fans in the country, theoretically, unless you go to Canada or go to the one in Mexico, to really see F1 in North America, period, on the continent, period.
I think they would. I would think that everybody connected with racing would want to do whatever they can, at least in the Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, if you will, to promote racing as much as they can. I can't speak for what's going on in Mexico, but I know here in America, and I don't know how much is going on in Canada, but even up there, racing does not have the hold on the fan base like it used to. We know this. We see the decline as far as people going out there. They may be watching it on TV, but they're not attending the races. And then every year we wonder when, you know, what race has been taken away or added to this city or that city as far as NASCAR. Yes, Lewis Hamilton is the draw, but when he's no longer racing, like that gap between him and Michael Schumacher, I didn't know what was going on as far as Formula One.
Yep.
And they don't do it here, so I don't keep up on it. That dude could have walked. Before he's had, how many has he won in a row, Lewis Hamilton, as far as?
I don't know.
Like he could walk around New York and L.A. and Chicago and not really be recognized.
I don't know so much. I think he's.
Now, not so much, but a few years ago.
Because of social media and whatnot and the people who come to see him, and that he's photographed with entertainers, your Beyoncé's, your Jay-Z's, your folks like that. He's seen as part of that. He's seen at their events. They're seen at his events. Serena Williams, Venus Williams, those people around him. So through that kind of association, you know, he has that. So I think that's the big thing he has. The question now is what happens today with both of them racing at the same time. It's just interesting. I mean, it's big. It's a big day of racing in the States, in the same state, but at the same time. So usually on Memorial Day, we scatter them out. We have one run early and the other one run in the evening. We don't run them at the same time.
We're going to get back into what happened yesterday in college football, talk about Georgia's win and some others. Up next, though, a chance at some jobs. Casting call, Sam and Greg. Oh, I'll tell you who my new neighbor is, too. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.